Welcome to the Morphin Grid, everybody. I'm Jake.
I'm Josh.
And today we're watching the unaired pilot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Again.
Again.
Regular style Morphin Grid episode.
Yeah, so last time we did this was the Morphinometry, which is still up. You can go check that out. I don't know when we're going to take it down or if.
I don't think we'll take it down as much as maybe have a bonus episodes feed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
To unclutter the regular
Yeah.
stuff.
That's a future problem.
Yeah, I'm
that's
not worried about it right now.
Down the line problem. But for now, if you're new here, hey guys, what's going on? We just finished season one, and so now we're doing this.
We finished season one months ago.
A month ago. And so we're doing this as a prelude to season two. So next week will be three episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers season two. They're all the mutiny, and I remember them being awesome, but I have not watched them in quite some time, so we'll see as we go. But today, yeah, we're going to take a look at the unaired pilot. It's on the seasons 4 through 7 bonus disc, if you have the huge collection. It's not on Netflix that I know of. I don't think it is. It might be on YouTube.
I watched it on YouTube in the past, but that was a long time
right.
ago.
Right. I don't know if they're taking it down.
I would just do a Google around,
see if you can watch it somehow. If not, you'll just have to listen to the dulcet tones of Josh and I explain what happens during it. So we're going to go refresh our memory on that, because last time we watched it was like 6 months ago.
Long enough that I don't remember really anything.
It was in my old house. Don't know when. Might have been April. Who knows? All right, enough with this very adorable banter. We're going to go watch the new episode because
it's Morphin time!
All right, we're back. We just watched the Lost episode, which is just the unaired pilot episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
It is bananas. It's a little...
There's a lot of stuff that I don't like. There's some stuff that's cool.
We will talk about
that. I mean, obviously, that's it.
Before we get to that, though, morphingrid.tumblr.com. I'm going to try to update this week. I know I'm terrible. I'm so sorry. But I'm hoping to have it updated before season one or season two is out.
You remember last time you updated it and you were like, I'm never waiting this long again.
I know. What is wrong with me? Whatever. I'm just going to.
Now, instead of it taking 10 minutes out of a single day,
it's going to take like an hour.
It's going to take like an hour out of a single day.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to watch a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Digimon while I'm doing it, and it'll be fine. But yeah. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website, which will be updated soon, I hope.
It will be updated eventually. Let's just go with eventually at this point.
You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. You can talk to us on Twitter at MorphinGrid, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheMorphinGrid.
Which will also eventually be updated after the Tumblr.
Yes,
it's a double eventually.
There's a daisy chain of things that need to happen before that can be updated. And finally, we are on iTunes if you want to leave us a rating and review. That would be real awesome. I would really like to get to 10.
We got
to
break this glass ceiling of 8.
I'd really like to get to 10. Even if you just go there and click that star rating. You don't have to leave a review. I would like to. I like hearing what you guys think.
Yeah. Reading reviews is kind of cool.
Yeah, it gets me hype. And look, we work in retail, and it's about to be the worst season of the year.
It's already kind of there.
So, like, two more real good reviews will just, like, totally boost our spirits.
Yeah.
Not to like, try to badger you into doing it, but come on, guys. Come on. Also, I've been meaning to say this for a little while, but I kept forgetting. If you're not subscribed on iTunes, I would definitely suggest doing that, because it takes iTunes a day to update the store.
Sometimes up to a week and a half.
Yeah, sometimes longer. But if you are subscribed, within moments of us putting it up, it is there for you.
Yeah, as soon as I publish it on Blogger, which is what we use to feed through, I can download it on my phone immediately.
Yeah, when I did it, because I did it once for the blooper for the outtakes last week. Right. It took a while longer because my clock is set differently. So I think that might have something to do with it. It took about how long my clock is off.
That's so weird.
Yeah, because my clock's like 8 minutes off because it just slowly gets out of sync. It's an hour and 8 minutes off, but that hour is just East Coast time,
right?
Instead of Central, because I'm really weird about that. I need to know what time it is where my parents live. Anyways, yeah, please subscribe. And then lastly, tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your friends' moms.
Tell your mom's friends.
Tell your mom's friends. They might be different people than your friends' moms.
Yeah, it's likely.
Yeah. But mostly just tell people. Just, you know, spread the word.
Spread the word, because we can't afford to advertise.
We can't afford to advertise, and I didn't go to school for marketing. I don't know where to go from here.
This is took a marketing class, so like...
Rockefeller over here. Anyway, let's get into the episode. We've been talking about nothing for like 8 minutes. So, we start off in the pre-Power Rangers local hangout, the place you all know and love, the bowling alley. It's definitely not the juice bar. 100%. No. Nobody owns it, as far as we know.
Well, somebody has to.
I mean, yeah, but there's no Ernie, you know. I mean, maybe there would have been. Maybe Richard Janelle would have been.
I don't think
Ernie.
There's any supervision, and we'll get to why in a minute.
Yeah. So they're at a bowling alley. Zach comes in and he kisses a girl on the cheek and he's saying hi to everybody. He's like, "What's up, man? How's it going? How's it going, girl? What's up, babe?" You know, like she's talking to everybody, which is a way better introduction than what he got in the real pilot.
Yeah,
because.
What I don't like is that he kisses that girl.
Why not?
Because we don't know that girl.
It's just he's just friendly.
That wasn't just a friendly.
Yeah, it was a kiss of the cheek. No. He's a friendly guy.
I like the rest of it. I didn't like didn't that. Like, see, it just felt a little skeevy. I don't know.
She wasn't like, "Ew, get away from me,
we
Zach."
We didn't see her face. We don't
we
know.
Did. She laughed. She smiled.
Did
she looked to the other side. Yeah.
I don't think she did.
Why is my voice getting so high all of a sudden? Anyway. Zach is a playa, established.
Yes.
Not to bury the lead here. I love a lot of the things they do in this pilot a lot more than what they did in the pilot that we saw.
I don't entirely remember the pilot that we saw.
You don't remember the first episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
I mean, I do, but like, I don't remember Zach's introduction or like, you know what? I don't remember just like, it was just him and Jason fighting, right?
I think...
So you don't even know.
I don't
You're
know,
giving
but,
me crap.
But I know that it didn't happen like this.
It wasn't like this.
Yeah,
no.
There's a lot of stuff done in this pilot right now and in the middle and at the end that I like a lot more because it explains a lot more things. It makes it make a lot more sense, and I really enjoy that. So we'll talk about it as we get to it. Jason is doing this weird Karate Kid psych up to roll a
He's
bowling
being
ball.
A goober.
and then Billy and Trini, who is not Tui Trang.
No.
She's played by Aubrey Dubois. She did the pilot, but then something came up to where she couldn't do the series.
Okay, because they do like a fluff piece before this on the DVD.
Yeah, there's like a 10-minute thing before.
And they just made it sound like... The way I heard it is probably not the way they made it sound, but the way I heard it was that they hadn't cast Trini yet, so they... just had Aubrey there for the pilot. Because the way Austin St. John or Walter Jones, Rich. I'm not sure which one said it, but they were
I think it was Walter
Tui Trang was cast like almost immediately after this.
Yeah, I think what it was is that she was cast, but then like had another commitment that came up that was like a better opportunity because they didn't know it was going to be a worldwide phenomenon at the time.
Right.
But maybe it was just something else. Maybe she had to drop out for whatever reasons. I'm not sure, but... It's not Tui Trang.
No.
We got Tui Trang, and I like her better, but I like this take on Trini for this pilot a lot more. I don't think the Trini that we had would fit in with this pilot
no.
as much, because
I mean, I don't think Tui Trang is street enough to be this trainee.
No, no. We'll talk about it in a minute. So Jason is about to roll, and Zach comes up behind him and with both hands just gooses him in the butt. And so he drops it.
I missed that. I thought he just yelled at him.
No, he didn't see. He goes, Jason! And he
immediately established that they're best friends, because you can't just do that
to somebody. You can't just do that to people. I don't recommend just doing that to people. So Kimberly, Jason's like, what are you doing, man? He starts like kind of fake boxing him, like shadow boxing him. And then Kimberly's like, excuse me, trying to bowl a strike over here. Which, you're always trying to bowl a strike in bowling.
Yes.
So, I mean, a little bit more than we needed, Kim. But it's fine. Because I think I'm trying to bowl over here.
Doesn't have the same
kick to it.
Yeah, emphasis.
What was Kimberly wearing in this pilot? Sort of blank tank top and pink, hot pink shorts. And I think Doc Martens. But I do not remember.
I did not see her shoes.
Now that I'm thinking about it. We only saw him for 1 second when she kicked
him. Did she also have a fanny pack, or am I just turning the morpher into one?
You're turning the morpher into a fanny pack, which we'll talk about in a minute. Her hair is done a little more attitude. A little more clueless, a little less blossom.
This Kimberly is really weird because she's dressed down.
But still, because
like the Kimberly that we end up getting is kind of like comes from money, right?
Right.
This one does not look like that.
No,
her hair's not ragged, but definitely a little.
Her hair is done in a way that like it's a little bit like it's more middle class looking. Yeah. I like it because it conveys a different thing than
right.
Her hair,
but she talks like a valley girl,
right?
Which our Kim or the Kim that we got, I guess I don't know how to differentiate is. Kind of, but not quite.
She's toned down a little bit.
Yeah.
I like it toned up.
Jury's out.
You know
me.
My feelings on,
yes,
on
I,
bad girls.
I do.
this one is just from the other side of town than the one that we got,
right.
It seems like. And I really like that. Like I said, I really like a lot of the things I do in this. In fact, paper cuts is... I would like to write the comic about this show. So if you're listening and you are, email me. Lilius.morphogrid@gmail.com.
You're so convinced that Paper Cuts is one of the 20 plus listeners.
What if they are? What if I get an email tomorrow? I will lose my mind.
That would
be
awesome.
I will flip my whole wig.
At the very least, let me design an ad put in a comic book.
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
It'd be real easy.
So... Kimberly is like, trying to ball strike here. She goes back to doing it. She winds up the ball and lets it go.
As soon as her arm goes back, it
now,
flies off behind her. This is my biggest fear. This is why I don't want to go big ball bowling.
Really? Because of this? Keep this in your pocket. This will come up later. There's an immediate effect right now, but her throwing that ball backwards will come into effect way later in the episode. I don't know if you caught it.
I don't think I did.
I'm excited then.
Okay.
So she throws it backwards. It lands right on a chili dog. The chili dog explodes, hits Bulk in the face, because it's not an episode of Power Rangers if Paul Schreier doesn't get something in the face. And it also hits another guy in the face, who is the leader of this like whole gang of punks.
He's the leader of the local tough guy gang.
The local tough guy gang. Is this Skull... Because Bulk is in the Skull role.
Yeah. Well, he's not even really in the Skull role, because this is a whole gang. There's like four or five.
But he's the only
here.
One who has lines other than the main guy.
Yeah.
Even the girl doesn't get it, who I'm assuming is Judy.
His lines look like they're pasted in after.
They were definitely ADR. but he's saying something. You can tell at one point his mouth moves a little bit, but like I don't know if it's because of the bowling alley or
right.
what. We did – when we introduced Billy and Trini, their relationship was immediately solidified as the same in that Billy is like, science and unnecessarily long words. And she's like, oh, so I need to do this normal-sounding thing.
Right. Yeah. So Trini's still as smart as Billy but more normal about it.
But just normal about it, which I like. I liked it that made it over – because you have to remember, this came first. So like,
this was the original vision for Power Rangers.
Yeah. which would have been a way different show. I don't know if it would have been as successful. I still think it would have been, like, real successful, but I don't know. I think homogenizing it a little bit like they did.
Yeah. I think overall, I like what we ended up with more than I like this, what this pilot insinuates.
Yeah. I think I do too. Oh, I'll save my final thoughts for later. Because okay. I have a lot of things I want to say about it, because it's so weird. This thing is so weird. And I have this obsession / fascination with alternate universes in fiction, and this is essentially an alternate universe to Power Rangers.
Yeah, it is.
And so I'm very into it. So we'll talk about it later. So Bulk, can you describe Bulk's hair?
It's sticking not up, but out on both sides of his head.
Yeah. He looks like a mad scientist's nephew. This is Bulk Frankenstein. So the dude, I'm going to call him Skull. This Skull, who is not played by National Treasure's Jason Narvi, which the one thing I am the most glad about is that
Outsider's Skull.
Yeah, this is Soda Pop.
This is Soda Skull.
And he's like, hey, you're going to make this up to me. He's like grabbing Kim, being like real predatory, really way over the line as far as personal space goes. And it's like, he's like, you're going to make it up to me tonight at the movies. And she's like, I don't date outside my species, because she's still Kim.
Right.
And then this is my favorite thing that happens in the entire episode. Trini comes up and is like, hey, get off her. Starts pushing him in the chest.
Trini murder machine confirmed. Not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence. This has been the character the whole time.
Yeah. It's just way more subtle with Twee Trey.
Yeah, and I think that works, but I've said it before, I really wish that Trini would have been like more aggressive in the regular show.
Yeah.
Because this is what
I like how like soft spoken and like not introverted, but I can't think of a better word, Twee Trang's Trini is.
Yeah.
And that in a fight murders a putty by kicking it into a tree.
Yeah, and breaking his spine into pieces. Because this guy,
I like that contrast of like, this is how she is, but this is how she is if you make her angry.
But don't mess with her. Like, yeah. I do think that really works. I think they both work. I think both versions of it work.
I mean, this one works. I like Twee Trang's Trini.
Right.
More. I'm definitely biased towards Twee Trang.
I would have
really
liked Twee Trang to be this Trini. Like, I would have liked to see her, because she's a good actress.
Right.
On top of also being very skilled. So I would have liked to see her do the same stuff, but I mean, we can't. That's never going to happen. The guy is like, oh, you're going to stop me, girl? And she's like, yeah. And like slugs him and like elbows him in the guts and like tries flipping him over. Like, it's amazing. She just takes no crap.
I like that. And at the same time, I do not like this fight scene.
Well, there's a...
It's definitely a more realistic teenager fight scene.
It's more realistic.
I just don't like how the Rangers just start beating these people up.
Well, I think it...
Because it's not just, like, a self-defense thing, because they take it farther than that.
Right. Well, none of them are martial artists in this one.
That's true.
Jason's just a guy.
I mean, he is obviously a martial artist, the way he fights his punk.
Right, yeah, but
like, it's not his defining character trait.
No. Which I like.
Yeah.
I also like that he's not in red pants or dressed head
to toe
in red.
He's barely in red. The only red on him is like the trim around his sleeves.
Yeah, he's got like a ringer shirt and it's like white, and then the collar and the sleeves are red, and it's...
He says regular colored pants, just blue jeans.
Maybe red shoes, I don't know, but it's...
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But still, it's real subtle, I really like it. Billy is just watching, and so... like, Jason is beating up two guys, Bulk and Other, and he ends up kicking Bulk down the bowling lane.
Yep.
Into the pins, and Billy's like, strike one!
I really like what Billy does here.
Billy is mixing metaphors like crazy, and it really works. And then Kimberly, like, I think it's Kimberly, it's either Kimberly or Trini, like knock down whoever they're fighting.
That was Trini.
Was it Trini?
Because Kimberly.
Kimberly is safe.
Is safe because she flips over one.
Yeah.
And then she kicks it down.
Yeah.
And that's strike three. Because then Billy says, you're out.
I thought Zach was strike three.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe Kimberly did get strike two. She's safe first.
She is safe. And then I thought Trini got strike two. And then, or no, maybe Zach got strike two. Either way, he goes, you're out. And then punches a dude in the crack.
It's slightly above the crack.
That guy drops like he was punching the crotch.
I like at one point, I think we're on Trini just beating the crap out of somebody, and it cuts to Billy, and you can see him fall in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly Watch also tracks back to the unaired right? pilot.
This is like, they made this, and then they're like, all right, we got to tone it down, because it's going to be on network TV. It's going to be, yeah, we're going to market it towards slightly younger kids, because it's definitely marketed towards maybe 10 to 13?
Like 10 to 13,
instead of like,
yeah.
Instead of like 5 to
this,
13?
This is marketed closer to my brother's age than it is to like your age when you first saw it.
Right, yeah.
Or my age when I first saw it. Because I was in second grade, so I was like 7.
Yeah, I was 4. And, or maybe I was 5. Maybe I was just barely 5. I do not remember. I was born in the middle of the year, so I can never remember. I don't know how old I was. And I was born in 89. So it's like, where does the math start? It's just a thing that I've struggled with my whole life. And I thank you not to bring it up again.
It's the only way you're going to beat the Booker Man.
You're never going to beat the Booker Man.
Booker.
You thought you were getting through a whole Booker game without wrestling stuff. Nope. So then there's like an anime on the TV in this bowling alley.
It looks
like Digimon to
it's me. It's kind of drawn like an old Sonic cartoon, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
It's definitely an anime. It's something that Saban owned. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
Because Saban's not going to spend any money on anything.
No.
Or something that he had, like, he knew a guy or something. But, like...
Something he didn't have to pay for.
Exactly. So, it cuts...
Because we can't tell right now, because they're just shooting on location in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a lower budget.
Yes. Way yes. So, the... anime cuts out, and there's a broadcast that says, live on the moon. So in this universe...
There's a camera crew on the moon.
There's a camera crew on the moon with astronauts. This is not an asteroid. This is not the planet Nemesis.
This is the moon.
This is the moon.
Even though you can see Earth and another mysterious object right behind it.
Another mysterious, moon-colored, moon-shaped object. With moon craters. It's the moon. You can see the moon. Squat has a different voice. It's the same voice actor, but he's doing it gruffer. He's not as goofy.
Right.
Which would
they all have kind of off voices.
Babu was the same.
But it was off.
He
wasn't as like goofy about it.
It was the same line.
Yeah.
Walk with me, talk with me. And it's the same voice. I mean, maybe he hadn't like perfected
but it wasn't
it.
That like... I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't that floaty.
Right. It wasn't as goofy.
I don't want to say it was gruffer, but it was definitely different.
Yeah, it was a little toned down. They hadn't figured it out yet. Then hashtag not my Finster.
No.
No. It's like I love Finster's British librarian voice.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. The only acceptable alternative is puri puri. Because that's great. This is a bad combination of the two.
Yeah.
I'm glad he only has the one line that I can remember. A skyscraper rockets to Earth, or rockets to the moon, Rita summons it. And you just see, like, a skyscraper, like, driving down the street. And that's why the building shakes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so much better than just, she's on the moon now.
Oh no,
there's an earthquake, oh my god. So, like, maybe this is what happened, maybe this is why the youth center shook, but we never saw it. In this, we see her steal a skyscraper, put her moon palace on it, and then rocket that to the moon. It's amazing. There is some more Trilly Watch in the shaking. Right before they get teleported with
yep.
Billy doing a little like, oh, protect me.
Yeah.
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Then we teleport.
It's a little weird at the bowling alley.
Oh, this is before they teleport.
Well, let's get back to the bowling
alley.
Okay. Right. I know they're all there together. Mm-hmm. But does it seem like this is Kimberly's first time hanging out with all of them a little bit to you?
Okay, here's my theory. Kimberly and Jason were on a date.
Okay. So were Billy and Trini.
No.
Or they are already dating.
I don't even think that. Because you're definitely right about Billy falling in love with her. And it doesn't seem like a that's my girl kind of love. He's like,
he's surprised that she's murdering these punks, right?
That's a oh my hero kind of love. I think Jason and Kimberly were on a date. And then Zach, that's the local hangout. And Zach just showed up and he was going to say hi to Billy and Trini. And then decided to grab Jason's butt. And that's when Kimberly was like, because she's a teenage girl, right?
Right. You know? Like, she's on a date with Jason, who's getting grabbed in the butt by a dude.
Also,
I don't mean it in that way, but like he's paying more attention to Zach than Kim.
Yeah, I think it's that, and that like when you know, like when you're a teenager and you start dating somebody, and like not dating, but like you're on a date, or you're even in a weird courtship phase, and like there's you and a girl, and you're doing anything that's even a little competitive. You're super competitive with each other.
That also explains Jason being goofy about his bowling stance.
Right?
That he's showing off for Kim. this is basically confirmed now that this is how this happened.
Yeah. So I don't think she's ever hung out with Billy and Trini and Zach and Jason before.
Right.
But I think she's there with Jason.
I accept your terms.
Thank you.
Glad I brought that up because I think we would have gone the whole episode without.
I don't think I would have mentioned it because it's something that I thought. I was like, oh. And then I filed it away because there's a lot of other goofy stuff coming up in a minute. Okay, so we cut to the command center, which is lower budget, but
it's kind of gross.
I like it a little more. I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't.
I like that it's big. I like that you can see the expansiveness, not just like, here's where this console ends. Darkness.
No Paris.
I do
like that, but even the command center itself is fine. I don't know. There's a charm that's lost that of the command center that we end up with. And Zoltar is hashtag not my Zordon.
Oh, yes. Hashtag not my Zordon.
And hashtag not my Alpha 5.
Hashtag definitely not my Alpha.
That's like Alpha 2. That might be Alpha.
This is just Alpha. I don't think he says Alpha 5 at any point. He does?
Yeah. When they first get there, he's like, that's Zoltar, and I'm his assistant, Alpha 5. But he's not. He wishes
we've
he
never
was
talked
Alpha
about 5. This before. Alpha 5 is the perfect name for a robot.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Is he named? Do you think he's named after Johnny Five?
I think it might be a little bit of an allusion,
a little wink, nudge, nudge. Right. So Alpha, how do we explain Alpha?
All right, picture Alpha. Okay,
doing it.
So he's got his flying saucer head. We'll start at the top and go down. This one has a mohawk,
right?
That's made out of the same thing as his eyes.
Right.
It goes halfway back his saucer head.
That's a little weird, but I do like the visual continuity of that in the Megazord.
That's, I don't like it. Go down to his midsection.
Okay.
Which, the one we have is just like a...
It's like a chest plate.
It's like a lightning bolt made out of light bright pieces.
Yeah.
This one's just like a giant circuit board that goes from the shoulders all the way down to his legs.
He's really boxy.
He's, really clumsy looking.
Yeah. It's real dumb.
And I don't mean clumsy in like a endearing Alpha 5 way. I mean, he just looks clumsily put together.
Yeah.
His arms and legs might be the same. I don't know. I couldn't look away from his circuit board chest.
The hands and the legs at least are definitely clunkier. The arms might be just like whatever they could do.
Right.
But he's not red. He's like a lot of bronzes. Yeah, he's... And I do not like it, but I don't hate it as much as you do.
I hate it.
It's not. It's definitely not my Alpha, but
I like how streamlined Alpha 5 ends up.
Yeah, the problem is I like that he looks like a piece of technology that's been around for 10,000 years. It's been stuck on this planet for like a really long time.
But the Command Center, Zordon, and Alpha 5 are from a past that also is kind of the future.
Yeah.
So that's why I like how streamlined he ends up looking. I like that he looks like a future robot, but he's 10,000 years old. I like that Zordon is caught in a time warp, and they have to use this crazy ancient technology to make him visible in a tube.
Right.
Which is still the way they do in
this.
He's
not so much in a tube as he is a projection. There is a tube.
He is kind of, it's at least tube shaped.
It's a tube like thing, but it seems like he's more of a projection than he is in the normal one. His face is better, but the effects they apply.
Face.
Is it? I don't think it is.
It's the same. I think it is. Because in that article I mentioned, the 11 things you don't know about Power Rangers, that's actually like fun behind the scenes stuff. You get to see the guy who's Zordon's head.
Yeah.
And he's got like green screen on under his chin.
Really?
It looks like his head.
There's some weird effects on it that I don't like.
It's more distorted in that it takes longer to catch up to itself when he moves, but it's overall less distorted in the general image quality.
Yeah, there's like lines where it's like a funhouse mirror that will it'll expand a really small part.
Sometimes he has a pig nose.
Sometimes he's got a pig nose. Sometimes he has no forehead. Right. It does a lot of weird things. I do not like that. I do like that you can see him moving his mouth and what he's saying. That's the thing I hate the most about Zordon.
Yeah, he's saying these lines.
Is that you? He's just like, and like then there's a voice. You know, there's no connection between the. There's no real connection between the two. Anyway, we've been talking about Zordon for like an hour and a half. I feel like so. He's talking about how Rita has escaped, and he's like, I've used my sensor array to determine that she's escaped.
And so he has a reason. He doesn't just know, oh, she's out.
Yep. Yep. I love it. Love it. And then they're like, Alpha, hit the button. And he goes, why? And he's like, he does the whole spiel, the overbearing, overemotional.
But he adds more qualifiers
A lot more negative qualifiers.
Because he doesn't say, Alpha, bring me these people. He says, push that button. It's going to bring me these. It's going to pick the power. The Morphin Grid. Yes. Is going to choose the Power Rangers.
This isn't in case of emergency button. This is the we need the Power Rangers.
Break glass for button. Power Rangers.
And it's awesome. And then cut back to the bowling alley where they do this weird stretch teleport out.
That's real weird.
It's real weird. But there is still the same shot of them zooming over the desert.
Exactly the same shot.
It's the same shot. Where they're colored things. So I don't know. Whoever decided, what if they were colored because they're colored?
Well, they
kind
of distort, right? And turn into these nightmare abominations for a second, and then they just, zip out. So maybe after they zip out, they just turn into the color of energy.
I like the energy teleportation.
I'm glad they figured out teleportation.
Yes, whoever did that, I hope they got a raise.
They do the weird morph thing again
in
a minute.
We'll get there.
And oh, man.
Okay, so we talked about the command center already. That's my next note. It's bigger, which I like, because there's more stuff available to do with it.
It's a vast open space.
But
the actual stuff in it is so...
Why didn't they
spread it out a little bit?
I don't know. I like that there's over here is this area, and over here is this. I'll tell you what's 1 million times better than in the show that we got. The viewing globe is a screen next to Zoltar.
It's
not
just
behind
a projection,
them.
Yeah.
Where he's like, turn around. Now come back and look at me. Now turn around again. It's just like, hey, look at this screen right here.
Yeah.
So now I can talk to you, and no one here feels like a weirdo. Zach mentions the Ninja Turtles, because he's like, what is this, Ninja Turtles? Or
what am I, a Ninja Turtle?
Yeah.
I think is what he says.
He's you're gonna beat these monsters up. And then Kimberly is still very Kimberly. A lot of her translated over, her sarcasticness definitely made the jump, which I really like. She lost it in the show pretty early.
Yeah, there's shades of it still.
Yeah, it's still there, but it's...
But it's not who Kimberly is.
Right.
It's who this Kimberly is.
The reason I'm willing to accept a lot of these other weird things and about the pilot is because the characters have attitude. They're actually teenagers with attitude, and I feel like that is just so much better. Maybe it's just because I'm 25 now. Maybe it's because I've been watching every episode and analyzing it like an idiot for a year. But like, I think now that this is what I would have wanted if I, you know, would have just started watching as right. a kid. I'll probably be like, these guys are all jerks and I hate them.
Well, this pilot was like, this was what Saban showed people he was trying to sell the show to, right?
Yeah.
So I think who picked it up first, Fox?
Yeah, Fox is who had it.
So they probably saw it and they were like, these kids need to be more like role models than
yeah
than which, actual teenagers with attitude.
Which they could have still been. I understand why they did it. Yeah. I think it was a good decision. It definitely made them a lot more money than it would have. I can just like tell that right out the gate.
Right.
But I really like them being like snarky.
If we got this show, it would have been one season.
Yeah. It would not but be the cult global phenomenon.
The cult following would still be like crazy about it.
We would
it.
Still be doing a podcast yeah. about it, but we would have just finished, or we would have finished the 40th episode, and that would have been it.
We would have been done.
Or maybe they would have went to Die Rangers. We,
yeah, you just can't tell.
No way to tell. But either way, there is this. He's like, you will get the powers of dinosaurs, and all together they go, dinosaurs. Like they've never heard the word dinosaur before.
Right.
Which they have because they talk about them in a second.
If I'm in a giant dark room with yep. this one platform talking to a giant head and he's like, I'm going to give you the power of dinosaurs. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to be all about that.
Yeah. These kids were, with the exception of Jason, not having that. Especially yeah. Zach.
That's... I get the shock of it.
Right.
Right. But like... Dinosaurs are awesome.
Dinosaurs are
like,
real cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the powers of dinosaurs. And then I understand,
yeah, okay.
I understand why Kimberly was freaking out. She's like, because they went through this thing, right? I don't remember it. Before they did that, though, there is the terrifying, I'm calling it the, oh, that was a bad noise. And I think you can tell what Josh just did. You can understand the emotion of how weird and unsettling it is to watch these kids transform into dinosaurs as if they are Hulk Hogan turning into a monster truck.
Yeah.
It's like that combined. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to explain.
If you've seen Michael Jackson's video for Black or White, when it gets to that part where everybody's face turns into the next person's face
right.
and they keep singing, it's that. But it's the kids, it's the teenagers.
Right.
They anamorph into their dinosaur.
But it's so creepy.
But it contorts and stretches their heads and bodies in such a creepy, gross
yeah,
way.
It's really, really unnerving.
Like, right now, it's grossing me out, but when it happened, I was laughing, because for a second, Jason looked like he was part gorilla.
Right. Everyone was like, didn't do anything, but Trini moved her arm.
Kim, like, put her arms up in a, like, what are you talking about kind of way to pull the wings in.
Right.
Trini like, punches.
Punched.
And then you get, and she's also the only one that changes back into a girl.
The rest of them are still.
The rest of them just get to the dinosaur and then go to the next one.
Yeah. That, it's weird. So Zach is having none of it. They're like, so you're telling me that we're going to get the power. It's each one of them says a different line. So it's like Billy says something and he's like, we're going to get powers. And then Kimberly's like, of icky lizards?
And icky, slimy
lizards. And then Zach says something. And then Jason's like to fight a space witch. I don't know. That's what Zach
oh, right.
says.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jason's like, who destroys cities? And then Trini goes, on a flying bike? I think Trini cut to the heart of it when she's like, why is there a bike?
Why is she on a flying
all the stuff available to this space witch? And she chooses a penny farthing? Come on, guys. What is happening here? We have lost control of our lives. So then Zach's like, no, not going to happen. You're a crazy person. We're all leaving. And they're all like, you're right. We're going to go, Zach. And then Jason lingers for a second.
He does. Zach pulls him out.
And Zach pulls him out. Then they're in the desert. Now, as soon as they walk out into the desert, Kimberly's like, we're in the middle of nowhere. In the show we got, they're like, just walk home, I guess.
We'll make it.
Yeah, like, they're not worried.
Yeah.
I like these characters a lot more.
Because they're more...
real. They're a little more realistic.
They're more real and they're characters.
Yeah, it's not just, like, kind of the same person with a different...
Right.
Like, you're a smart version of this person. You're a...
You can dance.
You can dance.
Yeah.
You're stoic. you're humble and you're a girl. Yeah, like, yeah, Jason's like, I don't know, we should have done it. And Zach's like, you're crazy. You're a crazy person. You understand what you're saying. Rita casts a spell to summon putties.
Yeah. Well, first she sees them, I'm assuming in her telescope. We might have seen her looking in the telescope. I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember.
She goes, teenagers, Zoltar must be behind this.
Yeah.
The thing is that if she's in her telescope is pointed at the command center, and she sees them coming out of the command center.
Right. Yeah.
But that's like that's Rita watching Zoltar.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense than her just going, yeah, like, I know what he's doing. I'm watching, you know, like, and like, she still can't send things in because it's protected.
Right.
So that explains why she never just like sends in monsters to go beat up Alpha and rip stuff apart.
Alpha getting beat up would be real sad.
It would be. The putties are very calm. They're all like nightclub bouncers, you called them.
Yeah, well, because in the actual pilot, like, they go, they fight the putties, and they get, like, thrown into a wall one by one. But this time they just get thrown aside, and there's two nightclub bouncer putties just standing there watching them.
Yeah, they're piled up to no threat because they're not advancing in on them. Because they all land in the pile again, right? Yeah. And they scream. They're like, help, help. And then Jason sees his morpher, or his transmorpher.
His transmorpher.
As it's called. Also, they come with their own belt. Now, it's not just like a clip or like, it's not just, yeah, in a mysterious pocket dimension until they need it. It's got its own belt. It looks like a fanny pack.
And they're in there backwards. Like, you can see the Zoltar, yeah, Z on the back.
Yeah.
I think that's also, because like in the actual Power Rangers show, we are to believe that it's always on their belt. It's behind them.
Like, tucked under a shirt or whatever.
And I'm pretty sure it's in that way, so they can just grab the handle.
Well, because we have the morphers, and if they're in backwards, not, like, displaying what Power Ranger they are, it, like, pops out when you pull the handle up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're designed that way to pop out backwards, which is, I think it's a very satisfying feeling to pop it out and morph.
When I packed mine, because I just moved, I played with it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chunk of the handle coming out and then the chunk of it opening,
yeah,
are two very satisfying, definitely, feelings.
So then the putties are just standing there staring at them. They're not attempting to beat them up while they're down or anything.
Also, it should be noted, they can do absolutely no damage to these putties in their human state.
Right. Which is...
They also sound a lot more metallic when they're hit.
Yeah, and they're not... They don't...
No, they just... They like just walking grumble around.
Sometimes they're like... But there's no putty, goofy noises.
Yeah.
Which I prefer the goofy putties.
I do like a goofy
They have
putties.
A lot more personality. And I, yeah, like them. So there's this really weird morphing sequence.
It's more like the Jurenja.
Yeah, where they just hold it out. And they say, it's one-handed, too. They're not doing the two-hand thing. And they, yeah, just say their thing, right? And it's like, pterodactyl, mastodon, triceratops, because Billy's really low-key about it. And then saber-tooth tiger. And Jason's like, I don't know what direction he was given, but he's like, Tyrannosaurus. it's like someone was like, Jason, he's like, Austin. Say it like a cool guy would say it.
Tyrannosaurus.
He's like, Tyrannosaurus. They're like, keeping it, done in one.
And then in the actual direction that he gets for the actual morphing
sequence, they're like,
sequence,
scream it like a, like, maniac.
Be real excited about being a Power Ranger. He's like, you got it.
You got it. So they're like, teleport them out of, they did it, because we come back to the command center. Like, they did it. Teleport them back, yeah, teleport them to Angel Grove, because Rita has sent down Flygar. All right, now I'm going to point out right now, we never find out who Flygar is. You think it's Goldar,
I'm
right?
I'm pretty sure it's Goldar, and here's why. Because Zoltar says, teleport them to Angel Grove District, empty district. Because Rita sent down Flygar, and then they get there, and it's Goldar and Putties, and that's it.
Was Goldar down there?
Yes.
Okay. Because, yeah, it's that fight scene that we see in the regular pilot. So they fight the putties on a building and sometimes in a parking lot. Like, some shots were definitely not on a building.
You know, whatever. Still, it's still Power Rangers at heart.
So then we cut up to the moon where she's like, I'll make him grow, whatever.
And Goldar's standing right behind her.
Flygar is right behind her, which is why I think that Flygar is King Sphinx.
I don't know, because Zoltar says send them to fight Flygar.
Right.
And they get there, and Goldar's there with some
Goldar,
buddies.
Yes.
Rita never says, I'm going to make Flygar grow. She says, deal with this, or something along those lines. And then we see King Sphinx grow.
Right. So that's why I... Okay.
Because at first when she's like, yeah, deal with this. And I'm like, oh, you're going to make that guy right behind you grow on Earth?
In your space castle, blow up the roof? What's your plan? So that's why I was like, okay, maybe it's actually King Sphinx, because then a little bit later in the fight, they mention it, and I'll get there in a second. But then we cut to Jason just next to a lake with the power crystal.
Yep.
Summoning the Megazord.
Yeah, there's no episode introducing the power crystals. They're just part of the powers, which is really cool.
Yeah, because
I like the idea of, like, you're in the suit, and the suit gives you the knowledge of everything that comes with being a Power Ranger. Like, that's why I like Billy's being like, I know how to drive this thing.
It's instinctual.
Yeah.
That's why you really don't like the turbo, where they're like, let me pull up my manual.
Yeah.
Which is a dumb
thing. Alpha and Zordon printed up manuals for car Zords? They're just cars, man.
No, I think Billy did, because Billy was the one working on the cars.
I don't know. It's just real goofy.
It is.
Maybe I'll like it better this time around. I don't. Probably not.
I'm going to try to bring a level of enthusiasm unparalleled.
There's things in Turbo that I can talk about in a positive way. There has to be. It's not just going to be me crying until the last two episodes, I promise.
So they bring them together, and then there's a monster fight where Goldar is also big. And this is when Zach goes, looks like Ugly Man brought a friend. And since King Sphinx was the big one, the friend he brought was Goldar. So that's why I'm thinking
Goldar's the one they were fighting before.
But they were also not fighting him, because I didn't see Goldar, so it means he was only in one shot.
He was only in the shot when they first got there.
I think Flygar is King Sphinx.
I'm willing to accept that.
Tweet us what you think. If you've seen
Flygar
the pilot,
is a dumb name for either of them.
Right, it's bad. Goldar works. King Sphinx is great. Tweet us what you think. Who do you think Flygar is? Well, let's just do a hashtag wars. No one's going to do this. So either hashtag Golgar or hashtag Fly Sphinx. You're giving me nothing.
Or type your answer, King Sphinx or Goldar, and hashtag it. That's my Flygar. Hashtag that's my Flygar.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, that's way better. Hashtag that's my Flygar. Oh, you looked away to take a drink.
Yep.
For 1 second. And I went, oh, man. Do you want to know what that is?
Yeah.
They have the Mohawk cannon.
They do.
Yeah. Did they use that in the original episode?
No, because Megazord only uses that like one time.
He uses it one recently. I think they cut around it in the original.
Huh.
Yeah. Mohawk cannon would have been a thing the whole time in this one.
Or just this time.
I don't think so. This as an episode, this seems like a more consistent show. I think it would have been a more serialized show than what we got. They call down the sword, cut the King Sphinx. He learns him a lesson. Sha, sha.
Goldar leaves.
Goldar ducks out, because that's what Goldar does. Then Rita has a headache. Then we cut to the command center where Billy is like explaining what happened, and Billy
Can we go back to Rita having a headache for a second?
Yes.
Because she reveals it in like such a dramatic way. She's like, I have a headache. Because apparently in that space dumpster for 10,000 years, she had no headaches.
No, or she just kept it to herself. She was just seething in there. Oh, being trapped in a dumpster for 10,000 years would be terrible.
Also, the astronauts smell the dumpster before they find it.
In their suits. So they're really hitting like, it's a dumpster, get it? It's a dumpster. That's where we put trash.
That's where you put garbage.
Put your dump in there. So Billy is like... Yeah, and then the thing happened, and then we did this. And he tries to do a split. This is all Billy speak. I'm not going to try to recreate it.
Yeah.
It is the splits, and tears his groin.
Yep.
So they need a new Blue Ranger now, because this one is ruined. And Zordon's just laughing at him, ripping his crotch, because you dumb humans. They help him up, and they're like, he's really affirming. Affirming? Is that a word? Affirming?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
He's being positive to them in a way Zordon never was.
Yeah.
This Zoltar, I don't think there's a Zoldan, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or Zoltan.
Yeah, because
Zoltor, I guess, would be the opposite.
He's definitely like a more late, he's the cool dad Zordon.
Yeah, but he's also like, I've been trapped in this thing for so long, who cares? Let me help you stop this space witch in a way that is positive.
Right.
And like, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to get teenagers to fight my battles for me.
Right.
Even though he is, it's a more genuine way.
He kind of just tells them that.
Yeah. He's like, I can't. I'm in a tube. You guys need to fight the space witch. And then he's like, you were all chosen for these reasons. He's like, Jason is leadership. And I forget exactly how he says it, but it's
like Billy's brain.
Well, I have him written down.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Because this is very important. Remember that thing I had you put in your pocket earlier?
Yeah.
What was it?
There was Kimberly throwing a bowling ball behind her.
Jason is leadership, and he's kicking two guys at once, right? Like a leader would, I guess. And then it's like, Kimberly is grace. And that's right before she throws the bowling ball onto a chili dog. We don't see it. It cuts before then.
Right.
But that's what you chose to use. Not the backflip or the front flip over a person.
Right.
The chili dog incident that started a fight between a gang of tough guys and some teenagers.
It's not a gang of tough guys. It's a tough guy gang.
Tough guy gang. I'm sorry. I apologize. I disgraced the WMAC Masters. Zach is a love of life, and it shows him, like, dancing. Billy is a knowledge for the ages, and it's just him doing, like, an aha finger when he's sitting down watching bowling. And then Trini, the way he explains it is, like, fast hands and quick whatever. What he means is Trini will mess a dude up.
We chose Trini for her murder fists.
For her ability to kill a sucker. Which is great. Then there's there's the scene where she's like, I got to go shopping. I have a lot of shopping that I have to do. They're like, we're in, you know, because of these things that you just said that we were.
This, I think, is the only part that I actually like completely better than what we got.
I like a lot more better, but like, this is the thing that, like, if you didn't like this, there's something wrong with you. Because she's like, but the helmet messes up my hair. And they're like, oh, Kim, come on. And she's like, psych!
She yells, psych! Instead of not. Psych is such a better word than not.
Because
especially for this character of Kim.
Because not, I don't know how up to date on your 90s slang or lingo you are, but not is like an immediate thing, right? It's like an immediate, like, I really love this, not.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Like that. Yeah, that's exactly a perfect example. The tricking thing she did, which is like, I need to my hair, I don't like this. That's a psych
moment.
That's
a psych.
That's a psych. Which is so much better in this. And then there's a jump and high five, freeze frame.
Power Rangers.
I don't know
if it does that.
No, I think we would have still gotten the same music.
We don't have a theme song because we don't get an actual open.
There is
the episode just starts.
It does. Because it's a pilot presentation. It's not really a pilot. So that is the episode. That is the unaired pilot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Now, final thoughts. Very exciting. Final thoughts coming from Josh Nichols right now.
Everything that I think I would have said here, I've said throughout the episode already. Just how different the show would be and how successful it might not have been if it continued this way. I would like to see this continue. I would like to see what happens.
Yeah, it's...
Because they can't fight Putties Unmorphed.
No.
In this universe, it's not possible.
Right, and I think once they get... After they morph and they become one with the Morphin Grid, so to speak, I feel like they would be able to fight Putties, but it would still be like, you know, if there's more than three Putties, we're doomed.
Right.
You know, like, we need to morph. Because I feel like they would have...
Tommy would have had a reason to be scared of those five Putties.
Right, and then, like, when she tested him with five Putties to get the Sword of Darkness, it would have been like, oh man, yeah, five putties unmorphed. That's a hard fight. Instead of like the first thing he did as a human person on this show was kick five putties to death. Easily by himself. I think the Tommy saga would have been a lot different.
It would have been darker.
It would have been a lot darker.
For sure. Because in general, this is like, I don't want to say darker, because when people say darker, like, I automatically jump to what Shadow the Hedgehog became.
Right.
Guns! Guns and death and stuff! Ugh. But, like, it would have been more mature, I guess.
More mature. Yeah. I think it was, yeah, a little older. It was a little, yeah, a little older. Yeah, because darker isn't...
Still a kid's show, but it's like a preteen show.
Yeah, and like it even, like, I think I would have dug this. I don't know if I would have liked it as much. I still would have been like, these people fight monsters... And they have robots. I'm going to watch that show. Look, every version of me in every universe is watching that television show. There's not a single one out there where I don't watch Power Rangers. I think you're right. I don't think they might have gotten the 20-year history they have now. Or it would have been a much more low-key thing, but it still would be on, you know?
Right.
Like, because it's lower budget. So, like, maybe they just would never have bumped the budget up. And instead of ordering more episodes, they were just... done Dire Ranger.
Yeah.
And then they would have done Cucker Ranger. And then they would have done Zeo, which is
O-Ranger.
Oh,
excuse me. I was mid-yawn, and I knew the answer, so I had to say it.
Yeah, O-Ranger. And then they would have done Car Ranger, and then Mega Ranger, and then who knows what.
Maybe
the
they
would have
skipped Car Ranger.
I don't think so.
Or Car Ranger would exist in a separate continuity, kind of like RPM.
I don't think RPM would have been the same, because I...
No. Well, that was one of the, you're done after this, do what you want. The same with In Space was this. Yeah. This is the last Power Ranger, just make it however
Which
you
I
want.
Think it might have been the same with Zeo, if we're like, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
About it, because Zeo had a lot of fanfare leading up to it, and they, like, nothing, like, In Space didn't, RPM didn't.
In Space was right after Turbo, and Turbo killed Power Ranger ratings. Like, Turbo. I'm not trying to knock Turbo.
No, for every one Jake
if I was into Power Rangers, then I would have watched Turbo. The problem is that, like, once it got to season 3 of Mighty Morphin, like, people started to grow out of it.
Right.
The new generation of kids that age didn't grow up on it, and it wasn't introducing it to them.
And there wasn't, like, a Netflix where you could just, like, catch up.
So, like, Zeo, I'm almost positive, had lower ratings than Mighty Morphin. Any other seasons?
I think they got away with a lot more of that.
Yeah,
I think it was a weird combination of, like, a lot of leeway from being this money making giant, and, you know,
right.
It's just Power Rangers. Do what you want. You know,
right. And then it cut into Turbo, which is when the ratings just they lost a lot of them.
And then
that's when they were going to cancel it after In Space. But then In Space became one of the best seasons of Power Rangers and got all the ratings back.
Yeah, I'm gonna level with you. I did not watch a lot of Turbo when it aired because we had hit this weird event horizon with our poorness. And so several things had to go, one of which was cable. The other was the phone. But we still ate mostly pasta, which is why I don't really like it now. And then we had electricity, and, like, I still had a place to live. Yeah. But, like, we just had my little brother.
Right.
And, like, so I would get updates from my friend on the bus in the morning.
Okay.
And then about 4 or 5 months later, because my mom was, I think that might have been right before or right after my mom was laid off from her job. And then, you know, 4 or 5 months later, my mom got her job back, and, like, my parents were working a lot to, like, kind of make up for, mm-hmm. you know, the time. But we got Prime Star, which was, like, satellite, which I still literally had a dream about the remote control from Prime Star the other night. That's how important that remote control was to me. Cause that's when I caught up in reruns on Turbo. And then In Space was on after that. But, like, yeah, I did not watch a lot of it. So, like, I feel like now when I'm looking at it, like, the reason I like Power Rangers Turbo so much is, like, number one, it was the one I couldn't watch because of, like, the terrible things going on. And so, like, when I finally could watch, I was like, best thing ever. And also, Justin was my age, as I've said before. So, like, there's a lot of...
All the gripes I have about Turbo, Justin's not one of them. He's fine. Leave him alone.
Right, yeah, like, he's not great. He's an annoying little kid, but, like, he's so hype about being a Power Ranger.
But I think that's cool.
Yeah,
you know how the White Ranger is kind of really goofy when he's morphed.
Yeah,
that's because he's a little kid.
He's a little kid. Yeah, in Die Ranger, We've gotten away from the pilot. Let's bring it back. My final thoughts on this are, sweet baby cheeses, do I want to write the comic book adaptation of this? I might email Paper Cuts, be like, what do I got to do?
Right.
What do I have to do? Because
you need to get rights to Power Rangers.
They have it. They have the rights. They do? Paper Cuts has the rights to Power Rangers.
Oh, they're the ones that's doing the comic? Yeah.
That's why I'm emailing them and not like a good company.
I threw that away when I moved.
It was bad. I want to get the – I heard the graphic novel wasn't terrible.
Is it out?
Yeah. It's been out since like a little bit after the free comic.
Do they have it at ABC?
We'll check.
Yeah, I'll read it there. See if it's any good.
I'll probably buy it. I mean –
well, if you buy it, let me read it. If it's good, I'll buy it.
Yeah. So anyway, this has been the final episode of our hiatus. There's probably going to be another Tangent Cast this Friday because I think we have at least one more in us.
And, like, you haven't asked me for any old episodes
I do
yet,
need. I do so. Need one. I just keep forgetting to tell you. So maybe we won't have another one.
Anyway, this is going up on Monday, right?
This is going up on Monday.
All right.
So we will be back next week, like I said, with three brand new episodes. And the reason it's three is because Mutiny is a three-parter, and that's our rule, is that if it's multiple parts,
we try to do it in a week.
It's all in 1 week. We've done it. We did five. We nearly killed ourselves to do it, but we did it.
Yep.
And that was actually the first ones we had the new setup with. That was so long ago.
That was.
We've been doing this for so long.
That was podcast level two. And we got windscreens. That's level three.
Yep. And then
I think that might be where we are now.
That's where we are. I think we're better as podcasters at this point.
More comfortable behind the microphone than when I started.
Oh yeah.
I still stutter and trip over my words, but that's just a character trait of mine.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
I pretty much the same amount. As the only difference is now I notice when I do it, and I have to kick myself a little bit. But we're gonna wrap it up because this has gone long enough. I really enjoy it. The pilot.
It's fine to watch once in a while.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, look, we don't have any more of it, and what we got is freaking amazing a lot of the time. We harp on it a lot because it's a dumb show for babies. But it's a dumb show for babies that we love.
Yeah.
That has some legitimately amazing things in it, especially coming up in the early season, this early next season.
Yeah, once the storytelling starts to come around.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are gonna leave you to go outside and play or do whatever.
Go. Well, it's dark out. I don't recommend
that. I mean
that.
For us.
Stranger danger.
Thank you very much for listening. Oh wait. We haven't done this in so long, I forgot how to end it. Morphogrid.tumblr.com is our website. You can email us at littleliest.morphogrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @morphogrid, we're on Facebook. At facebook.com/themorphingrid, and we're on iTunes. If you want to leave us a rating or review, that would be really cool of you. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time,
may the power protect you.
We are quite adorable, aren't we?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. We're having fun.